Everybody loves gifts, right? We love Christmas presents, we love birthday presents, wedding presents, and the like. Gifts make us feel special, make us feel appreciated and loved. And some of the best gifts aren't the kind you buy at a store, but they're those handmade gifts, maybe by your children or your grandchildren, maybe students at your school that give to the teacher. Those just have a special place in our hearts. Yet there's something, even as accepted and as appreciated as gifts, that can cause problems. When there's more than one child in a family, children will compare their present with their siblings and probably complain that theirs isn't as good. A child attends a birthday party of another child and wonder, why don't I get gifts? And that's even led some to give gifts to everybody that comes to the party, which, I don't know, to me cheapens the birthday. I mean, you know, that's beside the point. Why bring that up here in church, though? The reason is because gifts is something that we read about in the New Testament that is within the church body. It's something that's very good. And as we continue in our study of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, we find that the Holy Spirit gives every believer a gift or gifts to be exercised within the church body. Not just a few, not just the preacher or the elders, but everybody, every single believer in whom the Holy Spirit dwells has at least one spiritual gift. And yet, few concepts have divided Christians as much as spiritual gifts. Questions about what the gifts are, how many there are some of them at work today, or were they only for the New Testament age? How they are to be exercised, who has them, who doesn't, how they are manifested. These questions have split churches down throughout the years. And unfortunately, what tends to happen in almost all groups of people, I think it's just part of our human nature, we tend to go from one extreme to the other. And when we see the pendulum swing way in one direction, others react too far the other way, to the point that they're afraid of spiritual gifts. Oh, we don't want to talk about them. We don't want to exercise them. That was for an era gone by. I don't believe so. I believe that what the Bible teaches about spiritual gifts is very much for today. And I believe that as individuals in the church understand what spiritual gifts are, understand that they have gifts, and what they are and how to use them, the body becomes healthier. It's much better when all of the parts are functioning rather than just a few of them carrying the rest. And so over the next several weeks, we are going to look at this idea of spiritual gifts. And they're mentioned in more than one passage of Scripture. We're going to be looking at them. We're going to break down the gifts. And the whole point of this is not to overwhelm. It's not to discourage anybody. In fact, the whole point is for us to discover what our gifts are, learn how to develop those gifts, and then how to deploy them within the body of Christ. So I invite you to come on this adventure as we learn about what the Holy Spirit wants to do among us as a group, as each individual discovers their part, their role, and are able to develop that. Since God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, I believe that this disorder, this division about spiritual gifts is not from God. I believe our enemy would love to paralyze the church as we bicker, as we fight, as we are uninformed, as we are maybe misinformed about this area of spiritual gifts. And this is nothing new. The Apostle Paul, way back in the first century, had to set straight the Corinthian church. In fact, he devotes three chapters of his first letter, chapters 12, 13, and 14, to this whole area of spiritual gifts. Now, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is where we'll be spending our time this morning. I want to, this morning, introduce the idea of spiritual gifts and let you in on a few truths that apply to all. Then in the weeks to come, we will get specific and look at individual gifts as they appear in the New Testament. Right off the bat, in 1 Corinthians 12, the very first verse says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, about spiritual gifts. Okay? Right off the bat, Paul says, this is an area it's important you know about. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be informed. You need to know about this. He didn't want anybody in Corinth to shrug their shoulders and say, I don't really know about spiritual gifts and I don't really care. And unfortunately, that is the attitude a lot of Christians have. I don't know. I don't want to know. If I know, then I'll have to do something. But Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. This is something that every one of us should know about. And the fact that he goes into such detail gives us no excuse for not knowing about spiritual gifts. It's vital that we understand what they are and how they work within the local church. So, this morning I want to begin with a definition of spiritual gifts. What do we mean when we use that phrase? Now, it comes from a single Greek word in the original language, and the word is charismata. Now, that might sound a little bit familiar, and it's from which we get the word charismatic. Now, before we get into that, the word charismata is a compound word in the Greek, and it comes from a root word of charis, meaning grace. Unfortunately, that is an overlooked truth about spiritual gifts. The whole basis of spiritual gifts is the grace of God. Now, we use that term charismatic or charisma as someone that is magnetic in personality. They have charm. They have the it factor, right? Or we've also used that phrase charismatic as a term for Pentecostal churches. You know, certain churches or Christians are called charismatic. I want to suggest through this series that we are all charismatic. Maybe not in the way you're thinking. But we all have spiritual gifts. They're just not all the same. And at the very root of this idea is God's grace. Spiritual gifts are gifts of God's grace. It's not something we earn. It's not something we manufacture. It is a gift of God. And here's the great part. It isn't even so much a gift to the individual believer. It's a gift to the church. It's a gift to the body through the individual believer. Unfortunately, we tend to think of this concept of spiritual gifts in a very personal way. What gifts do I have? How can I exercise my gifts? Look at the gifts God has given me. And the whole point is, God hasn't given you a gift. He's given the church a gift through you. This is the way you can serve within the church body. But it is a gift of God's grace. just like our salvation. In fact, there's a couple of verses in the New Testament that use both of these ideas in the same verse. Romans 12:6. Having gifts, there's charismata, that differ according to the grace, there's charis, given to us, let us use them. The gifts of the Spirit come by the grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, there is charisma. Employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. There's charis. You cannot separate the grace of God from the gifts of God. In fact, you can almost interchange the two words in English. Think of Romans 6:23, very well-known verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You could just as easily say the grace of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Doesn't change the meaning at all. Gift and grace go hand in hand. We cannot separate the two. Paul sometimes uses this word in reference to the gift of salvation, to the blessings of God. But every other use of the word by Paul, and once in Peter, the verse I mentioned to you, it relates to the divine enablements given to every believer by the Holy Spirit. John Stott has written an excellent book. It's a small book, but don't confuse its size with how important it is. It's called Baptism in Fullness. It deals with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He writes, in order to feel the force of this, it may be helpful to remind ourselves that the word charisma is applied in the New Testament not only to spiritual gifts but to salvation. We are accustomed to ascribing our salvation to God's sheer and undeserved mercy, and nothing is more conducive to humility than that fact. Yet the charismata, which we are given for service, are just as much the free and unmerited bestowal of God's grace as is the charisma of eternal life. So in this area too, there's no room for either jealousy or for boasting. That's important. Because like those children that I mentioned earlier, that maybe at Christmas time, they're looking around to see what everybody else is getting and they're comparing it to what they got. Or they're bragging about it and saying, ha ha, I got this and you don't. You'd be surprised at how often that happens in the church. Oh, I have these gifts and you don't, so I'm better than you. Or they've got those gifts and I don't, so I'm inferior. No, that's not it at all. It's all God's grace. It's all his unmerited love toward us, showering on us. And we are all gifted in the ways he wants us to fit into the body of Christ. A spiritual gift has been described as a special qualification granted by the Spirit to every believer to empower him to serve within the framework of the local church. A short, simple definition would be a gift is a Spirit-given ability for Christian service. Not something that we work up ourselves. This is something the Spirit gives. I was reminded this last week of another definition. It was from my pastor growing up, Michael Veda. He said, a spiritual gift is a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ according to the grace of God to be used within the context of that local fellowship. Now, there's a lot of truth in that one statement, and we're going to expand upon that. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's something that he produces, just like the fruit of the Spirit we've been studying. The gifts of the Spirit are something that he gives. And it's to be used within the body of Christ. Now, let me point out a few things the spiritual gifts are not. Spiritual gifts are not natural talents. Why do I say that? Because there are people who don't know Christ who have talents. And we even say they're God-given abilities, which is true, because there isn't anything people have that is not from God, all right? So people have talents. People are very creative. People that are musical. People that are able to work in various realms. They just have a knack for it. We say they're gifted. And that's true, they are. But that's not what spiritual gifts are. You can be gifted and not be a believer, but you will not have spiritual gifts and not be a believer. Spiritual gifts are something a little different. Unbelievers may play the piano well, paint beautifully, sculpture realistically, master languages easily, write effectively. They're talents. They're not gifts. Talents have to do with techniques and methods. Gifts have to do with spiritual abilities. Talents depend upon natural power, gifts on spiritual endowment. Speaking of gifts, Peter says, if anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone minister, let him do it as the ability that God gives. Talents instruct and inspire and entertain on a certain level. But gifts relate to the building up of the saints or to evangelizing the lost. Something supernatural happens in the one who is ministering when a gift is exercised. Nothing supernatural happens in one who's performing when a talent is displayed. And though God may minister his grace because he is sovereign, even through an unsaved person who may, for example, sing a song well, that person has only shown talent, not a spiritual gift. So we're not talking here about talents a person may be born with. Secondly, the gifts of the Spirit are not the fruit of the Spirit. We just spent the last few weeks on the fruit of the Spirit. That has to do with who we are. Gifts are what we do within the body of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit's about character. Gifts of the Spirit are about service, about serving others. And really, the fruit of the Spirit's more important than the gifts of the Spirit. That's why we considered it first. Who we are is more important than necessarily what we do, but what we do is important. And we all have a place within the church body, within the family of God, to exercise the gifts he has given to us for them. It's something that we all have. And then third, spiritual gifts are not excuses to get out of those things which every Christian is to do. For example, we are going to discover there is a gift of evangelism. But we are all called to be witnesses. Now we'll see when we get to that individual gift why it's different. But we are all called to share Christ. Some just have a knack for it that can be used in situations that not all of us can do. And that's fine. That's their gift. They should exercise it, but it doesn't excuse us from the command to witness, which we are all given. Some have a gift of giving. They have a gift of generosity. And God enables them to give generously. But that doesn't mean that if I don't have the gift of giving, I don't have to give at all. I mean, we're all called to contribute. Some are just given a special grace of God to give far beyond what others can. That's their gift. But we all have to obey the commands that are given to us all. And we always must remember that these are gifts of the Spirit. If you're still open there to 1 Corinthians 12, look down to verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. That's going to be very, very important as we go through this study. We do not choose what gifts we have, and there is no way that we can beg for or plead for or somehow twist God's arm to give us a gift we don't have. They're his determination. He decides who gets what gift. Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4 echo the same thought. this salvation, which is first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified it to us through signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. These gifts of the Spirit are just that, of the Spirit. And he determines who gets what gifts so that they can all be exercised within the local church family. You see, part of the problem in Corinth was that the believers, as they began to discover and develop and even deploy these spiritual gifts, were becoming arrogant. They were calling attention to themselves and saying, look at me, look at what I can do. They were looking down on those who couldn't do the same things they could. And they were comparing and they were being puffed up. In fact, it's a phrase that Paul uses in Corinthians. Being puffed up, having a big head because of the gifts that they had. And that was causing division. And one of the key themes of 1 Corinthians is, can't we all just get along? The unity of the Spirit, which was certainly lacking there, and spiritual gifts was one of those areas that was dividing them. And the same is true today. There are some who insist that every Christian ought to manifest a certain gift. Some churches and some preachers will say that everybody should have the gift of tongues. As we are going to see later in this series, nothing is further from the truth. There is not any gift that everybody has. There's a diversity that is very beautiful. God doesn't want us all to be cookie cutouts of the same thing. We're all different. We have different personalities, different characteristics, and we all have different spiritual gifts. And within the body, it will all work very beautifully. If you don't have a certain gift, that doesn't make you a second-rate Christian. It means you have a different gift that is just as valuable, even if it may not be as well-known or celebrated. One final point regarding this definition. We've mentioned it, but I just want to underscore it. Every Christian has at least one gift, and you may have more than one. You may have never used it, you may have never discovered it, but it's there. Just as every believer has the Spirit dwelling within them, the Spirit brings one or more spiritual gifts to every single believer. Our gifts are assigned to us when we are born into the family of God. At the moment of the believer being welcomed into the body of Christ at regeneration, he is given a gift that is to be used in that body. Paul emphasized the universality of the gifts. In Ephesians 4:7, he says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." In verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." That word here, manifestation, means making something evident or obvious. And when believers exercise their gifts, God's people become tangible, evident, meaningful expressions of God's active presence on earth. Without exception, every believer has at least one spiritual gift. Now, I mentioned the diversity of the gifts. And it is true, every believer has at least one gift, but nobody has the same gift. We are all different, and you may have a different gift or gift mix. And Paul emphasizes that throughout this passage here in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, there are various gifts listed in the Bible. Here in 1 Corinthians 12, you have a couple of lists early in the chapter and repeated at the very end. You also see gifts mentioned in Ephesians 4, verse 11, and in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. We're going to be going through these throughout the next several weeks. One scholar who's written an excellent book called 19 Gifts of the Spirit has come up with 19 spiritual gifts that are mentioned in Scripture. Now, he mentions in his book there may even be more, because none of the lists are identical, meaning none of them are exhaustive. And God can give gifts to people that are to be used within the church as he wills. But there's at least 19 distinct spiritual gifts mentioned in the New Testament. And we're going to see these and see how they work together for the good of the church, for the good of the ministry. Now, unity is essential for the health of the body. Paul tells the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. But I want to mention here, unity is not uniformity. We aren't all exactly the same. If you had a football team and everybody was a quarterback, you'd be in trouble. Because there are different positions on that team that do different functions. And a team where all of them played the same position wouldn't be a team, for one thing, and they wouldn't be any good. So we all have these diverse gifts that we are given. Paul uses the analogy of the human body here in 1 Corinthians 12. He says the body is one entity, but it has a lot of different parts. You have eyes, you have ears, you have hands, you have feet. And he says, the ears can't look at the eyes and say, well, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. Or a foot can't look at the hand and say, well, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body. Sure, they're different and they have different functions. They do different things, but they're all a part of the body. And they're all important. He even says, if the whole body was an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body was an ear, how would you smell? I mean, we all have different functions, even as the parts of our body have different functions. And we need all of them to operate in order to be effective. And we need that within the church as well. We should neither be parasites nor paralyzed members of the body. We need to appreciate the diversity of spiritual gifts while maintaining the unity of spirit and our purpose as a body of believers. Now, not everybody sees it that way. Unfortunately, our old nature can come in. Human nature is naturally inclined toward feelings of either inferiority or superiority. When one person has a particular gift and another doesn't possess it, it's easy to forget that every gift is an expression of God's grace. It was because the Corinthians had lost sight of this that Paul had to deal with feelings of inferiority and superiority among them. And you know what's the similar between inferiority and superiority? They're both self-centered. Superiority makes you think you're better than everybody else. Inferiority makes you think you're less than everybody else. But both of them are focusing on yourself. True humility is not thinking badly about yourself. It's just not thinking about yourself. You're so looking out for others and their needs and their interests that we're not concerned with how we measure up against anybody else. And when we come into that service mindset where we're here to serve, I don't come to church to get out of it what I can. I come to church to put in. I want to be a part of the body. I want to serve and function together. That is truly when we grow as a church and as individuals. So how do we overcome this tendency of focusing on ourselves? It's to remember the design of spiritual gifts. Why did the Spirit give gifts to us? I mean, couldn't he have done it himself? You know, God's got all these angels. Couldn't he send angels to do the work? They'd probably do a better job than us, right? You know, Wouldn't it be more effective if angels came down and told people that they needed Jesus? Well, I don't know, maybe, but God is designed for us to do it. This is His plan, to use us to do His work here on earth. And I don't think Scripture could be any clearer on this matter. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Why? For the common good. Not to make us a celebrity. It's not to focus attention on us. It's for the common good. It's for all of us. So that the whole body is built up. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, I mentioned that was one of the passages where gifts are listed. Beginning in verse 11, it was He, meaning Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach what? Unity in the faith, there it is, very important, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature. It's so that we can grow up. There are an awful lot of churches that, spiritually speaking, are a big kindergarten or a daycare center because they're full of spiritually immature people. Oh, I'm not saying they haven't known the Lord for years. They just haven't grown up. But the spiritual gifts are given to the church so that the church might grow together. It's not a time to show off. It's a time to build up, building up one another, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Gifts are given to benefit the body as a whole. And while the gifts are given to individual believers, they are given for the growth of the body. That's important. We always need to remember why gifts are given. The design is to build the entire body up. Not only does our exercise of our spiritual gifts minister to others, but it helps them to better use their gifts. I firmly believe that my job as the pastor of a church is to equip you for your service. It's not just so that you can come and I can spoon feed you every week. Now, yes, it is part of my responsibility to preach and teach and explain. That's all part of it. But if you think the only reason you come to church is so that you can be fed, you're missing out on what God has for you. He wants to feed you. He wants to equip you. He wants to strengthen you so that you can go to work. So that you can become a functioning part of the body. You say, well, I don't know how. I don't know where. That's what this study is going to be about. So that you can find out, what are my gifts? How can I use them? And don't worry if somebody uses them better. Don't worry about how it comes across, because it's not about you. And it's not about how people look at you. Our goal is to glorify Christ. Our goal is to bring others to a saving knowledge of Him and to have them grow up in Him. And we all have a role in that. And so we help each other. We challenge each other. We encourage each other. We equip each other so that we all can be a part of the body of Christ. A Christian who does not exercise his spiritual gifts not only cripples his own ministry, but the ministry of others who are relying upon you so that they can do their ministry more effectively. Many churches advocate the concept of every member ministry. I like that. I think it's good. Just understand that every member ministry doesn't mean that everybody has to come up behind a pulpit and preach a sermon. There's so much more to ministry than preaching a sermon. A minister is simply a servant. And we serve in a variety of ways. And God has equipped every one of you that knows Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord with some way to serve. As we're going to see, some of those services are very out front. They're out in the open and everybody can see them. There are some services that nobody will know, and yet they're very important. They're behind the scenes. And usually God gives those kinds of gifts to those who are comfortable being behind the scenes. They don't need all the recognition. They're fine as long as the work gets done and the need is met. But we all have a role. We all have some place that is ours within the family of God. John Stott comments on the importance of this. This fact that every Christian has a gift and therefore a responsibility, that no Christian has passed by and left without a gift, is fundamental to the New Testament doctrine of the church. And it should transform the life of Christians and of churches. For the traditional image of the local church is an overworked pastor, assisted perhaps by a small nucleus of dedicated workers, while the majority of members make little or no contribution to the church's life and work. It conjures up the picture of a bus, one driver and many passengers, than of a body, which is all members active, each contributing a particular activity to the health and the effectiveness of the whole. And that's very true. The more everybody gets involved, the better off we're all going to be. You know, we often hear of unemployment in our country. In fact, I just heard that unemployment's at the lowest point it's been in almost 50 years. But we should never hear of unemployment in the church. Church is no place for the unemployed, because we all have gifts. We all have abilities given to us by God through the Holy Spirit to be put to work in the church. He wants all of us to be involved. All the billions of Christ followers over the last 2,000 years have one thing in common. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. We all have them. We just need to discover what they are. We need to develop them. And then we need to be able to deploy them within the functioning of the body of Christ. There are no nobodies in the body of Christ. There's no exceptions. There's no exclusions. And our gifts will make an eternal difference only in concert with other believers as we work together. Apart from the body of Christ, we're like clipped fingernails. We're like cut hair, absolutely worthless. But we are all a part of the body. We are all gifted. We are all called to service. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of the body, not alone. And I believe our prayer ought to be, in the words of that hymn, make me a blessing to someone today. Lord, use me in some way that I can encourage, that I can assist, that I can be a blessing to somebody today. Will you make that your prayer? Let's bow together. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the gift of your Spirit that you have graciously given to us at salvation. And we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit that he enables each of us to perform the ministry we all have within your body. I pray in the weeks to come, you would open our minds. Help us to understand that we all have these gifts and therefore we all have a responsibility to be used within this fellowship. And it's my prayer that as we discover and develop these gifts, they can be used to your honor, to your glory, and to the benefit of this community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.